First, a quick disclaimer. When I talk about a product, it's not coming from some sort of sponsored situation. There's no twist ending where I'm going to give you a code that suspiciously has the name of this podcast in it, telling you that for a limited time only, you will get some sort of special deal, some sort of benefit just by following my directions. Now, I'm somebody who is fascinated by the human aspect of how technology collides with who we are and what we learn by having that happen. I'm also fascinated at the extraordinary rare times that I come across something that, for me, is completely new. And that happened recently. I was given access to what's called a text-to-image AI called Midjourney. And while I've been having fun letting it wash over me, I can't help but notice how much it's taught me, or maybe reminded me, of what technology has been for me throughout my life. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Pretty soon after coming into contact with something exciting and new to you, the immediate urge is to turn around and let everybody else know what you've discovered and wanting them to come along in some way. It can leak into proselytizing or salesmanship, but it's mostly the overflowing of excitement, feeling that knowing about this by yourself isn't adequate, that if there's somebody else who can enjoy things as much as you, you want to share with them. It only leaves how you're going to describe it and how you're going to frame what people should do with this information. Let's move slowly. Midjourney is one of a rapidly growing family of text-to-image converters, where a massive field of GPUs is being given information related to imagery, usually pulled off the internet, analyzed, and then turned into a sort of matrix of knowledge, such that you can give random descriptions and have it do its best to create an image based on what you've told it. A quick bit of terminology, people tend to refer to this line of text as a prompt. In other words, you yourself are providing a seed of how the machine is going to move forward. For example, through whatever mechanism you use to communicate with these programs, you say the word bird. Using random seeds internally, whatever its data sets are, and a whole bunch of other factors that can change from product to product, a bird will be drawn. Maybe just the actual printed word of whatever you said. Or maybe an illustration or a ersatz photograph of a bird, some sort of bird-like creature, a shape, something reminiscent. It depends on how the system has been set up, how much randomness happens, and whatever the internal image sets are at that time. That in itself is a reversal of what we've seen before, where people will upload a picture and a program will use image recognition to try and tell you what you're looking at. Upload a picture of yourself at a restaurant, and it might say person at a cafe. It'll often get it wrong, sometimes shockingly wrong, but the idea is that the machine is quote-unquote seeing the image. What I'm talking about now is a reversal of that. You are describing a situation, and the machine, the program, the set of GPUs is generating a new image, which you might call wrongly thin air, that looks like what you are describing. I've shown this to a variety of people, and the responses are almost all uniform. After the simple sleight of hand trick of saying dog and getting a dog, or landscape and looking at some mountains and hills, people begin compounding the words, putting two things together that really shouldn't be together, to see what this machine will create. Pokemon mountains, donut computer, fish car, dragon hands, and then waiting eagerly while the machine crunches away and tries to make you happy with some sort of synthesized image. If you're lucky, the result is breathtaking, something you didn't expect would go by. But more often than not, you get a bizarre jumble, a photograph that's fallen into an oily puddle and pulled out again and dried. After a while, and that while isn't very long at all, you begin giving this machine more and more complicated phrases. A cat sitting on a throne of skulls. A forest made of cotton candy. A video arcade in a cyberpunk landscape with telephone wires in the style of Ralph M. Quarry. And then, standing back, you wait for the machine to grind through all of these different ideas and somehow produce something reminiscent of what you're asking for. That moment that you step back, having made a proclamation, a demand for action, and then equipment, machinery, electronics, software try to bring back to you your bidding, is a feeling you only get for a short time in life. Only for a few moments, for anybody, can they realize when they themselves had some sort of the illusion of power, became orders and commands, and all of the universe put you at the center. This may sound like hyperbole, but I can tell you that this is the moment when I sit down in front of a computer at my father's work and type commands after thinking about what to do next and see the machine pause and work whatever magic it is far down into its bowels and then produce for me text and graphics similar to what I asked for. It's the feeling of that Commodore pet coming into our home at my beckoning, waiting, blinking at their own prompt, requesting whatever command I wanted to give it. It's that moment you type 10, print hello, and the machine does it, and realizing that if you type 20, go to 10, the machine will begin to loop, following your commands to the letter, forever, never complaining, never requesting a reason, a justification, a demand back at you before any steps are taken, which, as a child, is a truly unique experience. The first time you're handed a machine that, based on what you type or what you do with your joystick, it will follow as best it can, is exhilarating. So to see it again in my 50s, and presenting this situation to friends and colleagues and asking them to play along, they jump into it with the fervor of a game of charades or being handed a water hose and a whole bunch of people trying to avoid being sprayed. It's those magical first steps of learning that out there is a nebulous set of parameters and it's up to you to understand what's going on. That is the power here. That, I quickly discover, is what Midjourney is doing. I can be both in a moment and observing that moment, remembering how it feels. And it's fascinating to watch the steps that I take being a deja vu, an echo of other moments in my life. The moment with a home computer, the moment I get on to the internet, the moment of using a 3D modeling program, a drawing tool, a bash script, where, not just content with learning the basics, my heart races at the idea of testing boundaries, of providing impossibilities and seeing what happens next. What I discover, what I rediscover, is that sense of asking all sorts of nonsense, of made-up phrases, and seeing what this machine is doing. The names of friends, of celebrities thrown into the top, along with famous artists or types of imagery, and seeing what comes out the other side. Draw a person in a Japanese alley in the 1970s as seen through a cinematic lens. Give me a Thomas Kincaid painter of light landscape, but add dragons and the tripods from War of the Worlds. Draw a person in the style of a royal portrait, in oil painting, and taking on the aspects of the following famous artists of that era. And then sit back and watch as the machine hums away, trying to figure out exactly what you mean and what it does. It is, in that first rush, truly magical. It reminds me of the joy that I found in many of my darkest days playing with technology. Its dependability, but also its strange unpredictability, as it would do something to the letter, and you would realize that your command wasn't as well formed as it could have been. It's that feeling of reaching out and sharing with others what you've discovered, turning around and providing to them a sense of wonder or a sense of camaraderie as together you play back and forth trying to figure out what the machine is doing, what this technology needs to be doing, with the two of you putting your minds together and making something as a team. It's a group of people, all talking and sharing ideas and then watching the results come, sharing how they came up with their individual creations and then learning from each other, expanding out their ideas until finally what you've really been making is not just some sort of imagery or even art, but you're making a memory. It didn't take long for me to move from discovering the boundaries of what this machine did to tracking down and talking with the people behind it about the various ways they're making this happen, the technical knowledge of what's going on, the fact that somewhere there's 12,000 GPUs working to make this magic act happen, that there's over a petabyte of image data ingested by this machine to become what is being searched against your prompts. For me, with my limited knowledge of a lot of the aspects of what people are calling artificial intelligence, I can't get excited about one particular algorithm being used or choices made about the data set. What excites me is watching what actually comes out. So much of our life is a black box that has a few buttons on the top, and we see something come out the other side, and even if we don't know what's happening in there, we can feel some sort of agency, of control, of whatever that black box is doing. The moments you press a drum machine or sequencer to make music, or the moments where you're learning how to use recording equipment or lighting setups and creating something ethereal and bizarre out of your own hands and ideas, that's something that becomes a part of us, becomes how we express ourselves, our means of touching the world. This relationship of your ideas to tools follows you throughout your life. And as the moment-to-moment efforts that people make using these tools pile up, you can easily forget, as I often do, of that moment, those first unsteady, unsure steps into a new medium that almost makes you dizzy with possibility, with ideas of what to do next. The fact that I've been able to have that feeling at least one more time is, in my mind, a gift that I'll cherish. And this time through this situation, I bring along with it the baggage, perhaps the experience, of knowing all the ways that it's going to get very tedious, very wrong, and could go very, very sour. But here, in this first description of it, let me at least reach out to you to say, it's always possible that around the corner, where you least expect it from a shared URL or a street address, something very new, something very special will enter your life, and you should drink it up, take it with both hands, enjoy the fact that life is, in many ways, unpredictable and unsure. And while things can always go wrong, in fact, they often do, there is, at the end of everything, always a chance that things will go very, very right. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Josiah Lusher, James Bigquianu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Symbiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I'm not done talking about Midjourney, and I stress again here at the end of the episode, I will not have a code for you. I will not have a link. My belief is some version of these prompting programs will become available to the general public for some sort of cost in time to come. Maybe a few weeks, maybe a few months, but you'll see it, and it'll be there for you, like any of these applications. Different people will have different reactions. Think pieces will be written about the ramifications of this sort of world. And those ramifications, those potentials for things to go very, very wrong, is what I'll be talking about in the next episode.